Season 3, Episode 1, ER.
We're watching NYPD Blue, not ER.
The episode title is ER, Kyle.
I'm just making sure.
I didn't want to confuse you, but the first episode of Season 3 is called ER, which is the name of a very popular drama set in an emergency room with the Clunes and then a bunch of people I don't remember.
Noah Wiley. That's all I remember. The dude, one dude that was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's not Anthony Anderson.
He's in Blackish.
His name's Anthony something. He was one of Spicoli's stoner friends. He's bald in ER, but he has long hair in that movie. Anyways, moving on.
Season 3, Episode 1, ER of NYPD Blues opens up with Russell hanging around Sipowicz because Russell wants Sipowicz to do something for him. And we're not 100% sure what it is, but if you watch the episode, and we'll get into it, you know what the issue is. But she's kind of hanging around him like an annoying
person.
Annoying little sister, one would say.
That she is.
They go into the house, and Sipowicz...
Well, no, before they go into the house, they have an argument. Not an argument, but they have a talk.
Yeah, but...
Russell wants him to talk to Bobby Simone about having dinner.
But they don't know. You don't know it's about having dinner. She just wants him to talk to Simone.
That's true. But then Sipowicz mentions, like, hey, what if we have dinner?
Even in that first conversation?
Yeah, and then because later on, Sylvia comes in and he says, like, hey, I invited Bobby and...
Well, that's later in the episode. Like, Bob way later.
For dinner. Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't think... I think the opening...
You're right. He invites Bobby to dinner and says, I'll invite her.
Yeah, I think the opening of it kind of leaves it up for mystery. Like, well, what is he going to talk to Simone about? But, I mean, any keen observer would go, Russell really wants to be with Simone, but she's, you know, she's a drunk. And she wants to do it the right way. And
she's also being really annoying about it.
Yeah, she's being really annoying to Sipowicz. But Simone is in the house, and he's trying to get a dude to... he's trying to convince a dude to tell the truth about a day he spent with a prostitute.
Yes.
Because the guy's like, no, I was just robbed on this street.
He's sitting there with no pants on. He has no pants. He has boxers, but he has on, like, a suit. He has on a jacket and tie, but he has no pants on. And then they're like, what happened? And then when Sipowicz come in, Simone goes, he got robbed, blah, blah, blah. And then Sipowicz says, well, why don't you help him refresh his memory, take him home, bring it up to his wife, talk about it in front of his wife, see if she can help out.
Which, they do that a lot with...
men.
With dudes that have to be...
pushed, kind of, to tell the truth.
Especially when prostitution's involved.
Mm-hmm.
They always go, like, oh, let's talk to your wife about this. And then he gives a new statement about... a guy being robbed after trying to be with a prostitute, which correlates with a string of robberies that they're currently working on.
Yeah.
He says, we got two other detectives busting their humps on the streets, as they say, and they cut to Medavoy and Martinez, and they're getting coffee. And did you catch the line about how much it costs for a cup of coffee?
$2.50. At the corner store by my house, you can get a cup of coffee for 50 cents.
Yeah, what I loved was he said $2.50 for coffee, and you don't even get a muffin.
Yeah,
and Martinez is like, you should have told that guy, sorry, man, but I work for a living. And I was like thinking, like, the drink I get at Coffee Bean with tip is like $5.
You tip at Coffee Bean?
Yeah, I tip every time at Coffee Bean.
That's weird.
I'm on their rewards program, Kyle, so I get a free one after a couple of drinks. So I feel like it pays for that free one. For all their hard work bringing me my beverages.
No, the whole point of the rewards program is that you're already overpaying for the coffee, so they're tricking you by thinking they're giving you a free one, or no, you've already paid for at least two.
I also appreciate the culture of Coffee Bean, which is a little less...
A large iced tea at Dunkin' Donuts cost me $2.38.
What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No.
$2.30 for a large iced tea?
Mm-hmm.
Water with tea leaves?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's about the going price in New York.
Anyway, beyond the economics of coffee and tea, they're walking down the street and they're looking into these robberies with this pimp and a prostitute, and they get pulled aside by a famous face who's only in the episode for like 30 seconds to go, my husband was was at the bar. He paged me that something is wrong, but
yeah,
no police
yeah, yeah.
showed him.
She's from Firefly.
Yep.
Or Serenity.
Gina Torres, yeah. famous face from Firefly and Serenity.
She's the shit. She's also in a bunch of different like comedies and other... She's been around, but yeah, she's the shit in Firefly. When I saw her, I was like, oh, damn. Yeah, yeah.
I saw her, too, and I was like, I don't know what she's from, and then I saw her IMDb page, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, she's super cool. I liked her in Firefly and Serenity. She was really good.
She brings him in, says something's going on in my husband or boyfriend's bar. He paged me, but there's no cops showing up. They bust in. There's a black gentleman who seems to have a guy over the bar.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm on the job, ma'am.
Yes.
And flashes his badge for half a second, and they're still kind of suspect. Because I imagine, because he's not doing it the way that normal police procedure would be, because we find out later he's a corrections officer, not like a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So they lower their guns for half a second, a dude comes out of the bathroom and shoots at Martinez.
Well, he shoots at both of them, and uh-huh. they start shooting back, and then they run through and run out the back. And the guy, the dude who said he was a correction officer goes one way, but the guy with the gun goes another way. And then there's a shootout in the alley.
And
while Martinez is trying to cross from one side of the alley to the other, that's when he gets, like, you know he gets hit because immediately when he gets to the other side, he, like, sits down and puts his hand on his side. But then it cuts to Medavoy shooting like a fucking ape.
And he drops all of his bullets because he's carrying a 38 instead of his 9mm.
Yeah. He says some line later, he's like, only if I had my 9, I'd be like, what, you would have missed him more?
Well, you have a prejudice against Gregory Medavoy, and we've...
A horrible detective.
He's not a bad detective, necessarily. We haven't seen a lot of his detective work. He does some detective work pretty well, like when they busted the gypsies.
It's hard to bust gypsies. Gypsies have been being busted since the fucking Renaissance. I've been busting gypsies all over fucking Eastern Europe for years.
They've been busting gypsies since the Renaissance, says Kyle.
Like, gypsies have been a thing for a long time. I mean, there's gypsies in the goddamn Hunchback of Notre Dame animated movie. That shit's way back, set back in that time. Like, get the fuck out of here, Medavoy. Martinez does most of your work.
That actually clears it up, because Chris... who is known on Twitter as Blank and Stuff, the uh-huh. guy who talks to us about the show, he says he was confused about when Martinez was shot. He says it wasn't very clear when he was hit, it's just he was sitting in the alley and he was hit. But...
Oh, it's definitely when he crosses, because as soon as he crosses, there's shots, and he, like, he's going fine, and then when there are shots, he moves quickly to the other side, and he doesn't stand, he goes directly sitting, and he puts his arm, he, like, sits there. And then it cuts to Medavoy, but then it cuts back to him, and he's looking, and he's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's but before he's bleeding, and he sits down, you see him like make he goes like and then they cut to Medavoy.
And before we're done with the beginning of the episode, there is, you know, a little thing to talk about in terms of police's trust of the African American community. Because there is that moment when they bust in, the guy says, hey man, I'm on the job, and he shows him a badge, and they all still point at him.
Yeah, but...
There's a lot more of this throughout this episode, but do you think they even would've put their guns down in that situation, nowadays?
No, because the way the guy flashed his badge was bullshit. He showed it and put it away, and then they had the gun up, and Martinez was like, bring it closer. And then that guy gave him what is this shit? Kind of.
Yeah, you see.
He's like, what is this shit? I'm on the job. And then that's when Martinez and Medavoy were like, oh, I think we may have, because, you know, that's that whole, like, we're brothers shit, like, all cops are brother in arms and shit. So I think when he said that, he was kind of like, the both of them backed off and were like, oh, my bad. Like, oops. Like, we didn't mean to upset you. This is a weird situation. And then all of a sudden someone shoots at them from behind once they lower their guns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it... I mean, I don't know, based on the TV show. I don't think it has to do with this black. I think it's because the way that he showed it, he just, like, showed it and put it away real quick. And that he was at a far distance, and so Martinez just wanted to make sure. That's what I think. But then
yeah,
again, I'm white and racist, so... So I don't know, but I don't think it was because he's black. because I don't know. Also, the dude was kind of an asshole when he said it. Like, you can't just say I'm on the job. And then they were like, well, show us something. And then he pulls his badge out and puts it away. It's like, well, that could be bullshit.
And also, if you have two guns trained on both of the guys at the bar, you can now let that guy go and step away from him.
And he didn't.
But yeah, he didn't do
so
that.
So there was a lot of weird shit that went into it. I mean, he could. But then again, I mean, I don't think Martinez is racist. If it was like Sipowicz or Medavoy doing it to him. If Medavoy and Sipowicz were there, I think it could have be looked at that, but I don't think Martinez is a racist, though.
Well, we got more to talk about in terms of police's relationship with the African-American community in this episode, which, of course, is Season 3, Episode 1, and this is NYPD Blue Balls, the voice...
There's more with the African-American community?
Yeah. We'll get into it, but this is... Like I said, it's NYPD Blue Balls. This voice is Kirk, and the other one's Kyle. And while we play the theme song of NYPD Blue, Kyle will reassure us that he's not racist because of how confidently he said he was racist earlier. So you're not going to say you're not racist?
I'm not racist. I don't know any of those people.
You don't know the three people that listen to NYPD Blue Balls?
I know I'm not racist. What about that?
So
11 minutes to get to the intro?
Yeah. Because we talked a lot about coffee.
Oh, that's right. The coffee.
We talked a lot about random shit. The most important thing about this is the show's intro is a big misdirect. Because it's the opening of the season, and we can't have a story about pimps and prostitutes running robberies. A cop has to get shot, and that cop is Martinez. So before the house knows about it, Simone goes to get coffee, and he gets hit on... by Miss Donna Abbandando.
That's right, yeah. I thought that was really weird.
I still think it's very weird. It was a very weird thing to do and
like,
decide.
Just as a writer of the... Excuse me, just as a writer of the show, doesn't mean... Like, are you just trying to show us that Simone gets bitches? Because you've already shown us that with Benita Alden, who you bring back this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl that sits next to her name, Diane?
Russell, yeah.
Yeah, she sits next to him. Like, we know he gets pussy.
Well, I think, because...
Or is this just trying to show us that, like, are you just starting off the gate going, like, Abbandando and Medavoy are done. And we're we're going to show that now. Like, Donna's completely over it and moving on. Unless it's that. But that doesn't make any sense to me.
And also, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It's going to play into the story that we're telling here. Or the story that the episode's telling. But in this episode, he gets tempted by Abbandando and Benita, which was an old flame from the season before.
He doesn't really get tempted by Benita.
Well, she makes it clear that she wants a little extra. She wants more than the scoop.
No. She wants to know what happened to them. I don't think she... Like, maybe she still has feelings for him, but like there was no way that like she tried to tempt him there. He came in pretty like professional, like, this is why I'm here. I'm giving you this info and then I'm moving on. And she's like, we need to talk about what we didn't talk about 8 months ago. And he was like, do you want this shit or not? And then she like did something and he was like, you fucked me and then you used the info after we had sex and you used it in the paper. And her response is still an asshole response. She's like, I thought you would like me being so into my job and wanting to do it like well and like, and it was like, no, bitch. Like, that was his argument from the beginning.
Yeah, to give everybody a heads up if you don't remember that episode. Him and Benita, because Benita's a newspaper reporter. In the episode where they were together, a cop was going to be brought up on charges because he killed a pimp because he got ripped off by a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And the DA made a deal that his name wouldn't be in the papers to protect his family.
Yeah.
And then Simone told her about this guy.
Yeah.
Well, Benita...
We're talking about a past episode. If people aren't watching these in order, then fuck them.
That's Kyle, every episode could be someone's first episode.
That's true, but if you enter into something and you see that we've done a first and second season, but you're going to start on season 3, and you want me to remind you about what happened instead of you watching them and then going through it, that's on you, that's not on me.
Anyway, Benita told
it's
a story.
It's like real quick, I started listening to the West Wing podcast. You know where I didn't start? In the middle of season 3. I started at season one, episode one, where I watched. Anyways, move on.
Anyway, Benita betrayed his trust with information that basically cost Amanda's livelihood, so he shot himself.
Well, it didn't cost him his livelihood. It's just his livelihood was already done. It put his family out there, and then he was embarrassed, and so he killed himself.
And Benita, to say to Simone, "I thought you would respect me because I'm so into my job," was basically like, "Yeah, you're cool with a guy killing himself as long as I get my story."
But he even, like, she said that the last time they got into an argument, like, when she was at his door, and she was like, I didn't do it, and then there was that silence, and she's like, she doesn't admit to it, but she says something like, "I thought you would respect how much I care about my job," and then Simone knows she gave it to him and slams the door in her face.
Was she also the one that said, "You never said it was off the record"?
Yeah, she like that, after she denied it, and then she's like, "Well, you never said it was off the record, and then I thought you would respect me being, like, really into my job," and then he's like, "Get out of here." So it's the same argument, she's a dumb, but I don't think she's, back to the original point, I don't think she's tempting him in anything. And I don't think, and the same thing with Almondondo, I don't think Simone's even thinking about that. Like, when Almondondo asks him out, I think Simone's like, "What? Like, I still got this shit with Russell I'm trying to figure out, and now you're coming at me with this?" Even though I would switch and go out with Almondondo before Russell.
What? For reals?
100%, dude.
Well,
she's got those big old titties.
Well, the point is this, Kyle. The point is, Russell made bad decisions, but Abadondo's decision before hitting on Simone was going out with Medavoy.
Yeah, but I think that was like,
charity work? What do you mean?
No, I don't think so. So she went out with Greg, and then she realized, like, oh, I'm hot. I don't have to date children who, like, piss themselves and fall and, like, can't tie their own shoes. And I can try to. I dated a hockey player. And now I got, like, basically the version of a hockey player in my job. I should go after him and not date fucking redheaded dorks who tried to fuck my sister. Like, I can go get real men, and then Russell's a goddamn mess.
Would you say that him and her sister were just Deborah messing around?
But fucking Russell's a goddamn mess. I wouldn't fuck with that. Not at all.
But that's the reason for the episode, because one of the runners through the episode is that some Sipowicz is trying to get a peace summit between...
Well, no, Sipowicz is her sponsor.
Is he officially your sponsor?
I think
Chris brought this up, too. Is he officially your sponsor?
I think so, because he says in the beginning when they're outside, he's like, "I'm really proud of all the progress you've made." And then later episodes, I don't remember where, but Russell's about to have a drink, and she calls someone, but it's not Andy, it's Simone. And then the next day, when they're in the station house, Andy's pissed at Simone, and they have, like, a little tiff, and Simone's like, "She called me, what am I supposed to do?" And Andy's like, "I'm her sponsor, she should be calling me, not you." And then that's when Simone kind of goes like, "Hey, my bad, but she called me." You know, like, and they kind of work it out, but, like, I think he is her sponsor.
All right.
Because I think it comes back from the second season, like you brought up before, where she makes that comment, like, when Simone says, "Andy thinks you have a drinking problem," and she's like, "Well, Andy's a drunk. Don't all drunks think they have drinking problems?" I think that's, she knows, like, oh, that's someone I can go to. And that sets that up, that, like, Andy's there to help her. When there's also another episode, I don't remember which one, but Andy's talking to Sylvia about Russell, and then the phone rings. Andy answers it and looks at Sylvia and goes, "I gotta go meet her." Russell goes, "Oh, man, I guess you are right. I guess it isn't going well." So then he goes and meets her and talks to her. I just don't remember when.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he is her sponsor.
Alrighty.
So his job, so I think what he's trying to do, sorry I'm talking a lot, but what I think he's trying to do for Russell is not broker a peace thing. I think Russell wants Andy to show Simone that she's making progress and that they can go back to the bone zone together.
Go back to the bone
zone. Or they can, like, start a relationship and he can trust her. I think that's what she's trying to get Andy, because Andy's his partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think the whole deal with Abadondo and Benita is we have to show that despite the months of separation, because there's been a summer season in between this episode and the last one, even though all this time has passed, Simone still wants to be with Russell. And how do you do that except have a woman from his past show up and he says, "Hey, I just want to give you the story." And a woman, a potential future woman, comes up, and he's like,
"Well, I think also it's a, I mean, the way I looked at it was a more attractive woman asked him out, and he said no.
More conventionally attractive.
No, more attractive.
I'd say more conventionally attractive. Because some people would say that Russell is more attractive than Abadondo in some ways.
His face is attractive? She's always doing that with her goddamn lip. It's fucking no. And her frizzy ass hair. Get out of here.
All right. Well, now that Kyle has lost all of our brunette
I did not say that brunettes aren't attractive. I just said whatever is her name. What's her name? Kim Delaney? What's her name?
Yes, Kim Delaney.
Is that her name?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, she's not attractive.
Do you think Sylvia Costas is attractive?
Yes.
Do you think Sylvia Costas is more attractive than Abadondo?
She's more conventionally attractive. Like, she's... Okay, so where Sylvia's at in her life, she's attractive in a sense that it's like, that's who I want my wife to be. Does that make sense?
Okay, so marry, fuck, kill. You're saying marry Sylvia Costas, have sex with Dave Abadondo, and then kill Kim Delaney, Russell.
Uh-huh.
All right.
100% kill. Oh, no. I would line up Russell and... what's the other bitch that works there?
Lesniak?
Lesniak, and shoot one in the head and hope it travels to the next and kill both of them.
Well, we bring up Lesniak. We're all over
the... Lesniak's the fucking worst.
We're all over this place with this episode, which is good, because I got tired of just rehashing the whole episode and going...
As long as we hit the important point. So what we should hit next is that they get a call that James is shot. And so all the cops are there. And then so Andy's interviewing the guy who was held up at the bar, and he's being kind of distant. So him and Simone basically are like, "We're gonna fuck you up unless you tell us what we want to know."
Because the bar had a lot more money than bar should have.
So then the guy broke it down. He's like, "Oh, I got robbed for $3,000," and then Simone's like, "Oh," and then Sipowicz is like, "You're not even open. How do you have that much money?"
He said it was like Monday at 9 in the afternoon. Yeah. Why do you have $3,000?
There's no way 9 can be in the afternoon.
Kyle,
9 in the morning.
I was talking about Panic at the Disco. They have a song called, I think, 9 in the Afternoon.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Anyways, we should kill Panic at the Disco. That could be part of the merry. We could line all three of them up and then... Anyways.
Just taking more shots at random things, please.
So they get into it about that, and then they find out it's like a numbers place or a booking place. And so then someone comes in and says, "Oh, a neighbor saw the guy jump into a dumpster in an alley."
Mm-hmm.
So then Simone and Sipowicz come out, and these cops like have guns drawn into an alley. And then Sipowicz comes. They all pull in their guns out, and they start screaming for the guy. And then this is where it's like a commentary. Like, there's people watching this happen.
This is what we wanted to talk about.
And
for sure.
Simone punches the guy in the stomach while Andy's choking him. He's holding him up against the wall, choking him while he has a gunshot, and Simone's pit, and they're asking for all this info, and they punch him. And then Diane goes, "Hey, let's take it inside. People are watching."
Mm-hmm.
I am... Okay, the man's black. If the man was white, any other color, I am okay with what they're doing.
Okay, why is it not okay if he's black?
No, I'm okay with any race for what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
But because he's black in the show, I don't think it's because he's black they're doing it to him. I think they're doing it to him because it's a cop that got shot. And so they're like, fuck you. You were a part of this and you shot him. So we're going after you. If it was two white men and they didn't do the same thing to him, then I'd have a problem with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it was a white guy and Simone and Sipowicz weren't choking him and punching him in the street, I'd be like, well, now you guys are racist. But if it was... So, like, we don't know if what they were doing was racist or not. Mm-hmm. But I am okay with what they're doing. Because, like, I get it. You work a little bit harder when it's one of your own that gets hurt. I get that part. But, I don't know.
It's also... I mean, this movie, I think... This movie. This episode...
This movie at 9 in the afternoon?
This episode is... I think it really tells something about perspective in any situation. Because the biggest cause of miscommunication is perspective and not understanding. To those neighbors, they probably heard some gunshots, looked out onto the street, and then people were running. And then Medavoy picked up Martinez, got in the car, and left. And now they see... It wasn't just a couple cops. Because it was Sipowicz, Simone, Russell, and then like four uniform cops.
Yeah.
They saw them pull this guy out of a dumpster who is bleeding, who said repeatedly, "I've been shot, I'm gonna die."
Uh-huh.
They put him up against a wall, and then they beat him and choke him. And then Russell goes, "We need to take this inside, there's people watching." to someone who's just observing that, that's police brutality. And in some ways it is police brutality. But they don't know the scene where Martinez walked into a bar, had his gun drawn, and then a guy tricked him into putting it down, yeah. And then they shot at him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
so it's like, yeah, what they did was wrong, and you can't really defend it, because they do something else that's really fucked up, that I thought was way more fucked up than the beating he gave, because they would have done that if the dude wasn't shot. They would have done that if it was right then, and James and Medavoy weren't the only people there.
Mm-hmm.
If that guy jumped in that dumpster and there were other cops, then it would have been, okay, well, it's beat down time to find who your partner is, and also you just shot at another cop. The thing that I was like, okay, that's objectionable.
Mm-hmm.
They take him to the hospital where James is, and they hide him from a doctor so that James can make the ID.
I still have no problem with that.
So James can make the ID, and so they can get that dude on the phone to get him to meet somewhere, and then they let a doctor see him, right? What if that dude died?
Shouldn't have shot a cop.
That's your attitude? Shouldn't have shot a cop, even if he's gonna die?
Shouldn't have shot a cop, man. Like, shit happens when you shoot a cop. Like, shot the wrong person. I don't know. I really don't know what to say. You shot the wrong person, they're not gonna, like, look out for you, you know?
Anyway, I guess.
I mean, I'm not for cops and shit, but I don't know. It's just kind of like, you just shouldn't have shot the cop. Like, but then they end up making the guy get the page. The guy pages him, and so they make him and talk to him on the phone. And then they make him, like, set up a meeting point at some pool hall bar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Sipowicz and Simone go to the pool hall bar, and then while they're, like, they bust in and have their guns out, and while they're telling everyone, like, looking at everyone, the guy they're looking for goes, "Hey, I'm on the job."
And then they immediately take him out.
Yeah, yeah. And then he starts saying, "I want Murray Abrams." He wants to talk to that fucker, Murray Abrams.
Oh, dude, he has that line, "You wouldn't make it, you wouldn't make," okay, well, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's first do this. There's two famous faces throughout this entire story that we haven't mentioned.
Uh-huh.
One is the doctor who helps out James and the shot gentleman.
He's the man in black on
Lost.
Lost, yeah.
He's also Bosch on the new show, Bosch.
His name's Tyus Weller.
Tyus Welliver.
But he's in, he's also in Deadwood. He's a really, really good character in Deadwood. He used to work for the government, but then he gets bought by Swearingen and kind of becomes Swearingen's boy, but he's really, really good in that, too.
And the other famous face, famous for a couple reasons, some good, some bad, is Isaiah Washington, who is the gentleman that was shot. He is the gentleman that was on Grey's Anatomy that was fired for calling another guy a faggot.
That was Isaiah Washington, for real?
It was.
Oh, wow. I guess I didn't recognize him bald.
Yeah, he's bald and wears a goatee. And
that's he's super young, too. But yeah. Oh, I guess so.
What ends up happening is they get this guy. Well, he's possibly dying of a gunshot wound.
I mean, it's just one shot. Like, chill. And it's not in, like, a vital area.
Oh, are you a doctor? Did you know?
I'm just saying, chill out.
It's also a TV show, so who cares? But
yeah.
They get the other guy, they get him in the room, and they find out he's a corrections officer at Rikers.
Uh-huh.
So they're interviewing him and they're making the play, "Oh, we get it. So you get in with the skills. You're the cool one and you don't get hurt during riots and this and that. And then you know who to talk to when they get out to run robberies."
Mm-hmm.
Then the guy says to Sipowicz, "You wouldn't make it on either side of the bars, ... bitch."
Uh-huh.
And Sipowicz, in like a classic like bullshit move, he takes his gun out of his holster and goes, "Hold that for me."
And then as soon as he says that, Fancy walks in, because I think he's going to fight him.
And Fancy with Abrams.
Yeah. I fucking hate Abrams. But I think this...
Look,
I think
we all thought Star Wars could have been better, but there's no reason to hate on Abrams.
So, yeah, I don't like Abrams. Supposedly Abrams cuts him a deal and isn't going to charge this guy, the corrections officer, with getting Martinez shot, because supposedly he knows something about like the drugs that you can get in Rikers and it's going to blow the roof off of the corrections facility.
Ed Sipowicz says one of my favorite lines, blow the roof off, Jiminy.
Yeah. 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 And so they cut him a deal, but then as they're leaving, Simone and Sipowicz, there's this black, I think, lieutenant, or what's higher than a lieutenant? Sergeant? Someone. And they're talking to him about this guy, and this guy kind of like lets it slip that he's kind of blowing smoke up Abrams' ass about this. Like, he keeps saying all this stuff, but he can't produce anything. Blah, blah, blah.
He also has family in, like, Barbados, and they think he's going to leave.
They're going to bail on him. So that's when he's like, so that's when Simone and
Benita get back involved.
Mm-hmm. So he gets Benita involved. Benita writes this story. So then Abrams has to prosecute him because now it's a story and people are pissed and they're calling and going, what the fuck? You're going to let this guy go? He shot cops. So then Abrams comes back and he's like, I want to report a backstabbing like a pussy. He's like, one of your blah, blah, blah. And then Fancy comes in and he's like, dude, chill. You have the respect of everyone on the job. I don't think that's true. And then Abrams has the balls to go, how's Martinez? If I was any one of those cops, I would have been like, go fuck yourself. You don't care how Martinez is because you were going to let the guy who got him shot go free. You can go fuck yourself.
Well, what I loved is that scene, I think that scene where they have Abrams, the chief of D's. Is that the chief of D's?
Yes, because he won't, yeah, because there's a point in it when Abrams goes, this is need to know stuff. And then the chief of D, and then Fancy goes, they caught the case. And the chief of D's goes, they're allowed to be in here.
So it's the chief of D's, this guy Abrams, who's the district attorney, Simone, Sipowicz, and Fancy. And he says, what we're going to do is we're going to drop charges. He's going to walk because you have the shooter. And then Simone and Sipowicz goes, you have to be kidding me. And then Fancy stands up and is like, do you know what this is going to do to cop morale? Because in Fancy's mind, I understand that there's a give and take thing here, mm-hmm. but what you're basically going to tell all the cops is, hey, you can get a cop shot, but you can still get off mm-hmm. because of politics.
Because you have a deal.
And, like, I think that was a really important point for Fancy to say that, because then it shows Fancy's like, hey, I don't know what you have, but I have to deal with these people every day.
Well, that's when, like, there's that scene where, well, I think Sipowicz says, so he's going to get off, and then there's a scene where it's the chief of D's face in the front, and then Sipowicz is staring at him, and the chief of D's won't look at Sipowicz, and he's making this face of like, yeah, that's what they told me we're doing, that's what we're doing. And so, like, he even kind of has to deal with it, too.
Yeah, but it all works out fine. The two guys responsible are eventually...
Well, only because he gives Benito the story. And then fucking Diane is all like, who's that bitch?
Yeah, that's another thing that's funny. I wrote it twice in my notes. In this episode, two different women in Simone's life bring up old shit.
Mm-hmm.
Russell, it creeps around like a crazy person mm-hmm. when he goes to see Benita.
Uh-huh.
Then when they go to dinner, because it turns out Sylvia cancels the dinner because she is news.
Sipowicz is talking to her and she can tell she's like not in a good mood. And then he's like, well, I invited them to dinner. And she's like, what if I don't want to have dinner? What if I just don't want to have anybody fucking come over?
And yeah, that's exactly what I was like.
And then Sipowicz was like, okay.
Which, by the way, she has every right to be that upset.
No, she does.
Someone says, let's go to dinner.
She does, but she doesn't have to be fucking cranky about it. Like, he straight up was just like, we're going to have them over for dinner. She's like, what if I don't want to cook? And he's like, well, I wasn't planning on that. I can go pick something up. And she's like, what if I just don't want to have people over? It's like, well, you don't have to be so fucking sassy about it. You could just say it like
sweet sassy molassy about it.
But yeah, and then...
No, I don't agree with you, but that's fine. But it turns out on that front, the big reveal at the end of this episode is that Sylvia might be pregnant.
Yeah, she says she's late, and then Sipowicz is like, late for what?
But...
Like, there was that one time. It was like our weekend getaway, or weekend, like, in the mountains or something.
But Simone and Russell go on a date anyway.
Uh-huh.
And they go to check out his birds.
Oh, yeah.
And then on the roof, she's like, so... like, why would you even bring this up if he's on a date with you? That's something that will never make sense to me. She goes, well, do I have to worry about that old reporter? And he's like, what? And he could have been like, you know that Abundando asked me out, right? And yeah, I said no.
He could have. He should have, to throw it in her face, but...
No, he shouldn't have. That's why he's a good person, and why that relationship could work. Because that's a terrible thing to do when someone brings that up to you. He did the right thing, which was like, no. So, and then she's like, so am I all clear here? And he's like, you're all clear. And then it's just Bone Zone time, pretty much right after that.
Yeah.
Closing comments. John shows up when James is in the hospital.
Yeah, and then Medavoy tells him not to give blood because he's a homophobe.
No, that's not what he said. You're remembering it wrong. You are remembering it wrong just to put Medavoy in a negative light, too, which is interesting. Because Medavoy shows up and he's really... First of all, he crashes the car getting him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into a Three Stooges sketch with a guy bleeding in the car, which mm-hmm. was like a
and then
weird...
Then he backs into... Then when he parks the car, he parks it so that James Martinez can't even open the door.
And then he backs,
then he backs it into an ambulance, yeah.
But while Martinez is on the table, he's like, what do I do? Should I give blood? And then Titus Welliver's like, yeah, you should give blood, basically to get him the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So John shows up, and Medavoy says, well, you know, they say they have a plenty of blood here, but you could always give blood. And John says, strange as shit, I think. Because we all know John is homosexual. He says to him, I don't know if that's a good idea, even though I am monogamous and I get checked every 3 months. So, like, in the middle of this really insane, possibly life-threatening section of the show, a character goes, well, I'm not going to give blood because I could have AIDS, even though I'm doing everything to prevent me from having AIDS.
I'm going to have to rewatch it.
That's what he says, because I wrote
that,
it down.
I thought it was more like... Medavoy pulls him to the side, and he was like, oh, it's really cool that you're here. We don't need any blood here, but if you want...
I didn't see it.
Though. I mean, if you want to take it over here, go watch it, because I think that's why I think his response is no, and then he adds that, even though I'm monogamous and do everything that I can to not... You know what I mean? I think that's his way of putting it in Greg's face of like, go fuck yourself, homophobe. 100%.
Well, apparently Chris agrees with you. Blank, because he said he was home. I didn't see him like that. I thought he was saying...
Rewatch it.
Everybody told me to go give blood, and then I went to give blood, and they said we have enough, because they were just ignoring him. And then he's like, yeah, we don't need any blood here, so maybe he was a homophobe. I didn't see him that way. I thought of him more of like an innocent puppy who just fucks everything up, but apparently he's a homophobic asshole.
I 100% think that.
Also, another small thing. Lesniak visits James in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They were dating when the season ended, right?
No, they weren't. Because remember, Martinez said he wanted to take her out, and she said, oh, it's not good to date co-workers, and then that's
that,
how that's it.
That was in the previously on NYPD Blue.
But I don't think
the
that...
last episode of NYPD Blue Season 2, he took her to the wedding. And the episode before that, he took her on a date and then he talked to her and then hung out with her dog.
That's right.
So I think they were together and then they kind of just changed it over the summer.
Or maybe they weren't together. Maybe they just went out twice and didn't go anywhere. Because this kind of is the damsel in distress syndrome where it's like, oh, James is hurt. I'm going to nurse him back to health and then like him type of thing, you know?
For one thing, Chris is perplexed as why Simone did not want to have sex with Dabandando, because apparently Medavoy says she's thunder in the sack and think of your best sexual experience ever and then double it.
Yeah.
So he also mentions there are two not so famous faces. Stephen Williams, who played Stackhouse, was in 21 Jump Street in the X-Files.
Who cares?
And Mel Winkler was the inspector at the IG office who played Marvin the Mechanic on Dark Hollywood, if you're fans of those. Basically, this episode sets up... don't worry, Bobby and Diane are still together.
Yeah, or they're working on it.
They tried to make it seem that Martinez may lose the ability to walk.
Oh, yeah, on one side of his leg, right?
Yeah.
On one leg?
The reason we didn't bring it up is because it was only drama set for this episode.
Yeah.
It's completely thrown away later.
Well, isn't it in the same episode that Doc touches his toe and he's like, oh, I felt that. And it's like, oh, we're making progress. Woo!
So, yeah, it's not as threatening as we thought. So, yeah. It's what we know from this, starting into season 3, Sipowicz might be a father. Simone and Russell are back together.
Yeah, not about that. Metavoy's still a bitch.
And of course, Metavoy is still a bitch.
Metavoy's the worst.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com or iTunes or Stitcher or where you find podcasts. It's been quite a break to get to this one because we've been very busy. We are two normal people who don't have people to schedule our stuff, and we got things to do. We do appreciate your listenership, and we hope that you go to our Twitter at AsherBrosPod or the Instagram AsherBrothersPodcast. Or go to the website and leave a comment. If you want to talk about episodes, you can on those platforms, and we'll talk to you. Or email us at masterbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Any closing comments, Kyle?
No, not for this one.
Alrighty. Thank you for listening to the NYPD Blue Balls podcast. There's no reason to make them if you're not listening. I apologize again that it's getting really hard to release new episodes. Me and Kyle are both pretty busy. You can always go to AsherBrothersPodcast.com, MixBagOfHats.com, iTunes, and Stitcher, and you can listen to all the old episodes of that and Asher Brothers Podcast. You can go to MixBagOfHats.com and check out exclusive stuff there to listen to or look at or read. In terms of Hulu and NYPD Blue, NYPD Blue is not up on Hulu yet. We're waiting with bated breath. We're hoping it gets up there soon so we can binge it like our other favorite TV shows. Thank you. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. Be better. Listen. Empathize. Love. Be good. Peace.